Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of the Jewish movement within Jerusalem at that time, they were perplexed. They were in dismay. What do we do about this Jesus Christ? For the whole world is clamoring after him. People were coming to Jerusalem to see him, to hear him, to see the miracles he had done, and even to see Lazarus, whom he had raised. So these Pharisees, these Sadducees, as they talk among themselves, they're saying, no matter what we do, no matter what we try to do, we can't seem to stop this attachment, this interest that people have in Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing is, that's still going on today. The other day I was reading an article, a news article, that was talking about the Middle East and what has happened with Christendom in the Middle East. As throughout the Middle East, intense persecution has come. Many Christians have been driven out of their homes, churches burned to the ground, many of them killed and martyred. Yet, within the Middle East still today, they say that there is a very strong underground church and many Muslims coming to Christ because of the movement of faith from those martyred Christians before, in the very presence of those who are killing those Christians. People are still saying, how do we crush this Christian movement? How do we squelch this faith in Christ? And around the world, they've tried it. But the faith of Jesus Christ is driven by the power of God. And just as frustrated as those Pharisees are, so also have many movements in this world been frustrated when they've tried to crush Christianity. So as we come to this text, we come to Palm Sunday. We come to the entrance of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. We come to this place where the people are excited. They're shouting Hosanna. They're singing in the street. They're welcoming Christ into the city that day. I'm going to pick it up here in John chapter 12, and I'll read verses 9 down through 19. And as I read it, listen and think. Even put yourself in that place at that time in John chapter 12, verses 9 on down. It says, Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bare record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Let's ask God's blessing on this text this morning. Father in heaven, as we look in these verses and as we learn from these truths, I pray that you would stir our hearts to come to Jesus with pure and sincere hearts, come to exalt him, to sing Hosanna, to praise him. Lord, help us to examine our motives this day as we gather around our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. As we look in these scriptures, we see that some didn't follow for the right reason that day, and yet we see also many came for all the right reasons. And so the question arises, we ourselves this morning, on this Palm Sunday, what is the reason that we are here today? Is our motive pure? Are we here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth? Let's first look at those who came with improper motive, those who didn't follow for the right reasons. In the text that I read for you in verse 9, 17, and verse 19, we see those who came merely to see the show. They came to see the show of the day, the religious event of the day. In fact, look with me, if you would, at verse 9. It says, "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus." They had heard all about how that Jesus Christ had raised Lazarus from the dead. In fact, later on in the text, it talks about that there were people that had came that day that would bear record. That's what it says in verse 17. It says, "The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, they bore record that day." So apparently there were people that were maybe standing on a soapbox or standing on a stair talking about how they had been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. And people wanted to come and hear this. They wanted to hear these testimonies. They were hoping to see Lazarus, who'd been risen from the dead even after he'd been in the grave long enough for his body to stink. It says that he'd come out forth at Christ's command. So these folks were not here just to see Jesus. They were not here because they had a sincere and genuine faith in Christ. Some of these folks were here simply because it was the religiously interesting thing to do that day. And even you and I this morning, as we come and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, what's the motive behind us being here? Is it because we know and love our Lord? Is it because we are thoroughly convinced that He is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, who died for your sins and mine? Or are we here because it's what our family expects of it? It's what we should be doing. It's the right thing to do. It's the place to be on Sunday morning. We examine our faith and we ask ourselves, where am I in my walk with God? Just as those people had to do. We even see that there were some who came with ill intent. When you look down at verses 10 and 11, it talks about those who had malice in their heart as they went to Jerusalem. It says in verse 10, "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." You see, there were some who gathered that day and they were looking for an opportunity. They would have given anything to be able to execute, kill, slay, martyr Lazarus at that time. But I want you to note in that verse, it says Lazarus also. And that's because already they were plotting to end the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Already they were watching for the opportunity. Already they had a plan in place, just looking for the moment that they might enact it, put it into motion. So we find these people, they're at Jerusalem too. And they're gathered also along the street. And they're looking at the events that are happening. And they're seeing Jesus Christ enter the city. And they see Lazarus and other disciples with him. But they're not there because they truly love the Lord. They're not there because they want to worship him or lift up his name. They're there with ill intent in their heart. And all of us, we have to ask ourselves, what is the purity of my relationship with Christ? Is it a pure relationship of sincere love, a desire to worship him and praise him? Is it a desire to draw nearer to him? Or do I have some ill intent within my soul, something that nobody else maybe could even understand, but yet it lays there, deep within me, maybe a resentment, a bitterness, a jealousy, an envy, maybe even a hatred. Maybe a hatred for God, for His followers. Certainly we see that in the hearts of those who gathered that day in the streets of Jerusalem, looking for an opportunity to do ill, to do harm to our Lord and to His disciples. You and I, we are sinners just as all other sinners are and have been and always will be. And we all have to do that self-examination sometimes and really look at our faith and look at our walk with God and be sure that it is pure and that it is true. Some did come for the wrong reasons, but it says many came for the right reason. And I would like to hope and I would like to think that as we gather to worship our Lord on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, a Wednesday night when we come for Bible study and children's ministries throughout the building, I'd like to hope and pray that we are of the many who come with a sincere desire to know and love the Lord, a desire to grow in our faith and grow nearer to Him. We see this when we look at the example of that day. On that Palm Sunday, look with me at verse 12. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And they cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were there for Passover feast. Passover feast was a religious celebration. In fact, the Passover feast looked forward to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, just as it looked back to the sacrifice of the Lamb there in that time of Egypt when Moses was going to lead them out. Before they could go, the death angel was going to pass over, and they had to have blood on the posts of their house. That symbol had to be there so that when the death angel passed over, those houses that had that sacrifice symbolically on the doors, the death angel would pass by and the firstborn of their home would not die. In fact, let me take you to the text in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 in your Old Testament. Turn with me there and I'm going to read to you verses 3 down through 7, because I want you to see what it is these folks were celebrating in Jerusalem, where many people had come to gather when the Lord Jesus Christ entered in. Exodus chapter 12, listen with me as I read down verses 3 through 7. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. This is God telling Moses. Say to them, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep, or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. So you look here and you see this is why these folks were coming to Jerusalem. Many Jews from many corners coming to celebrate this symbol of the sacrifice of a lamb for the salvation of the people. Look on a little farther with me to verses 11 down through 14, and you hear yet a little more of a description of this Passover feast that the people were coming to Jerusalem for. It says, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Listen, these folks understood that when the Lord saw the blood, he would pass over them. And you and I today, we understand the symbolism, the significance of this Old Testament event brought to the New Testament in celebration, in recognition of the shed blood of Jesus Christ being applied to our hearts so that we might have eternal life through our God. And when God sees the blood on us applied to our soul to wash away our sin, then he passes over us that we might live forevermore. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Bible says. We live evermore when we have our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So these folks who had come to Jerusalem, they came to celebrate that event that pointed towards the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They were celebrating salvation, and they yet did not fully understand it. Maybe this morning, as you have come, maybe you've come with a friend or a relative. Maybe somebody's encouraged you to come and worship with us today. And you don't understand all that is transpiring. You might not understand the songs and the scriptures. Just as those people who were gathered in Jerusalem that day, they didn't understand the full symbolism of the Passover feast. But the answer was Jesus. The answer was Jesus Christ, him dying on the cross, shedding his blood for their sins, just as he shed his blood for our sins, that we might have eternal life. So we see the many who came for the right reason. They came to worship God and to celebrate the Passover. They came to better understand their walk with him and to draw nearer to him. There were also many who came that day because they wanted to usher in the King of Israel. Look with me again at verse 11 in our text. And I'm going to read down through verse 11, 12, and 13. It says, "Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" These folks, as they gathered on the sides of those streets that day, and as they cried out, "Hosanna," and they ushered in Jesus, and they said, "Blessed is the King of Israel today," how little they understood who he really was. They were looking for the coming Messiah. They were looking for the one that the Old Testament prophesied would come. But they wanted a triumphal king. They wanted a king that would come and raise up an army and drive out the Romans. They wanted a king who would raise up a spiritual nation and change the hearts of the people. They were not looking for a king who would pay for their sins on the cross. They were not looking for a king who would submit to death and raised from the dead in 3 days. They were not looking for a king that was an eternal spiritual king. They wanted an earthly king. So that day they're welcoming him. They're praising him. But the irony is, within a few short days, they would be crying out for them to crucify him. There's always that mystery intertwined in that entire text. How is it that people are so fickle? How can they change so fast? How can people walk with God one day and sing Hosanna and the next day walk away from God, even crucify him? You see, the reality is, within us dwells that sin nature. And until we receive Christ and embrace him by faith and let him transform us, he called it being born again. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Once of natural birth from the water and once of the Spirit. Until that genuine transformation takes place, there's always that possibility that we will taste of the faith, but never take it and consume it and make it our own, as the book of Hebrews talks about. These people, they were fickle because they were not yet fully convinced. They were not sure. They were unsure of their own faith. So yes, they welcomed him as king, but it was king within the confines of their definition. They didn't want to know him as the king that left heaven above, took upon him the form of a man that he might die for the sins of all mankind. You know, the scriptures teach us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, that there is no other potentate, but that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That is a fact given to us from God in his word. But if we're not careful, we give it our own definition instead of the definition of the scriptures. He's not talking about a king who would overthrow Rome. He was talking about a king that would overthrow sin, that there might be victory in the hearts and souls of those who would follow him. Now, yes, Jesus Christ will one day return. And yes, one day Jesus Christ will rule. But that is yet to come in prophecy. Here, we're looking at when he walked upon the earth. Many came. Many came for wrong reasons, but many came for right reasons. And they needed to grow in their faith. They needed to grow in their understanding. They needed to mature that they themselves might sincerely, genuinely receive faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to grow together. When you look at verses 14, 15, and 16 in the text, it's very interesting what he says in verse 16. Listen as I read down through. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. And then it quotes in verse 15, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Now listen to verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The amazing thing about this text is he's reminding us that even Jesus Christ's disciples, even his apostles, did not fully understand yet. They were putting the pieces together. They were trying to assemble the understanding of Old Testament prophecy and modern day events, who Jesus was and what he was doing. And in you and my lives, in the lives that we live throughout our community, we do exactly the same thing. We see Christ at work in our lives, in our church, even in our world. And our faith and our understanding in Him becomes more thorough and more complete day by day in each of our lives as we see God at work. I remember a number of years ago, Ray Barrows got in a car accident out headed home from work. He fell asleep at the wheel and he hit a tree, it was, head on, wasn't it, Ray? And I went to see Ray in the hospital in Burlington, and I mean, he was in traction, trussed right up, stretched right out on that bed for months. Ray had to get to know the Lord in a whole new way, a way that I hope none of us ever has to experience, a way where he couldn't get up and he couldn't do anything. People had to take care of him every day, every need. And I'd go in and I'd talk to Ray and pray with Ray, and the tears would run down his eyes, just waiting for the day to be free from all that traction. He had to come to know the Lord in a different way during that trial than I have ever known the Lord. Each of us in our life's journey, we come to know our Lord in our unique personal relationship with Him as we see Him meet our needs according to our steps. That was what was happening with these apostles, these disciples. They knew the Scriptures. They knew who Jesus said He was. And they certainly saw Him do some amazing miracles. But they had to get it all put together in their understanding and in their faith. And it says it was not until Christ was glorified. That means it was after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, not until the ascension, did they really start to connect the dots and fully understand He was God in the flesh who came to die for their sins, that they might have salvation in Him, and they were able to really fully grasp. And you in my life, as we come together on this Sunday morning, this Palm Sunday, where are you in your journey? Have you given up and you're a cynic standing on the side like the Pharisees were? Oh, no matter what we do, we can't stop this. Now, here they are looking at Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. Now, I'm thinking that's a pretty convincing thing right there. If all of a sudden I brought in your great-great-grandma and brought her up here and she started talking to you, I'd think that would convince most folks that something pretty miraculous had happened. Unless you were so closed-minded, so bitter, so unwelcoming to truth, so blinded that you couldn't even see past your hand before your face. And that's what the Pharisees were like. It didn't matter how many thousands Jesus fed with just a few fishes. It didn't matter how many blind men He gave sight to. It didn't matter how many lepers were made whole or how many Lazaruses were raised from the dead. They were not going to believe. Is that your condition today? If it is, then by faith, come to the Lord. Dismiss from your mind all the bitterness and all the whatever that has created a wall, and come by simple faith to the One who paid it all for your sins. Or maybe you're still on a journey. You think you understand, you hope you understand. Then I encourage you this morning, keep seeking, keep praying, keep asking. Lord, help me to understand, help me to connect the dots, help me to comprehend. The disciples had to go on that journey, just as I did when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'd not grown up in a religious home, knew nothing of Christ other than that He was a curse word. It took me a long time of listening and watching before I understood that I needed to humble myself and receive the Savior. Each of us that are here today, we're on our own spiritual journey. Some of you are fully there. You've received Christ. You're born again. You're completely convinced and secure in your salvation. Some are on a journey trying to understand. And some may be here with hidden bitterness and anger, unwilling to receive. But we are all on the same journey of seeking to know, is this really Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah? I believe He is. And what He did for me, He did for you. And that we will celebrate next Sunday when we celebrate that resurrection, when He got victory over sin and death, that we all might live. Let's bow our heads. Let's look in our hearts this morning.